Now tonight, I want to talk to you about one of the besetting sins. And I think it and anger are right up there together. And they're cousins. Okay? So I would like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to look at verse 14. Let's stand together as we read out of respect to God and His Word. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. I'm going to speak to you tonight about one of the most devastating things that can happen in your life, bitterness in your heart. One of the most devastating things that can happen in your life, bitterness in your heart. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." Let's begin by having a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, tonight we thank you for the meeting that we've had this week, for the responses that have came forward here. But right now, tonight, we need to hear from you. And I submit myself to the Holy Spirit right now. I want to be Spirit controlled here. Pray that the Holy Spirit will take control of this service. I pray that you will be honored and glorified and lifted up. And I pray, God, if there's a person here tonight who's unsaved, that they might see their need of salvation. Lord, if there's a person here tonight who's out of fellowship with you, that they might have their fellowship restored tonight. And Lord, if there are people in the room here tonight that are struggling with bitterness in their heart, I pray, God, that they'll be able to learn how to deal with it tonight and deal with it. And God, I pray for your help now. I need your help. Help me to be focused and my mind to be focused. And I thank you for all you've done for us here. And I pray you'll open your word to us powerfully now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As a pastor and biblical counselor for many years, I have found that bitterness is a deceptive, ugly, and a major destroying factor in people's lives. And it's got to be taken seriously. Okay? It has to be taken seriously. You as a Christian in an independent fundamental Baptist church have to understand that you have to take this seriously. Now, 66 times in the Bible, God warns against this horrible and wicked sin. Now, whenever God wants to make a point in the Bible, He always repeats it. So here he has repeated it 66 times. Now, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 and 8 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption or destruction. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Satan desires to use this in your life, and it is one of his biggest tools for your destruction. It'll derail your life, and it'll harm everyone around you. Many people who are in church today but are miserable because they've allowed bitterness to hinder them from having a real, intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with God, they're not Spirit-controlled people. Now, look back with me at Hebrews chapter 12, and look at verse 15 with me. Notice it says, looking diligently. Well, looking diligently at who? Yourself, thank you. looking diligently at yourself. So in essence, remember I said you got to ask God those three questions every day? Is there any sin that stands between you and me? I want you to show it to me. And last night we found out that, you know, part of submission is asking God questions. Okay, remember we talked about that in our distresses last night? So here now, you know, looking diligently at who? Looking diligently at ourselves. Now watch. Looking diligently, lest any man or woman fail of the grace of God. Did you hear that? How would I fail of the grace of God? By allowing bitterness in my heart. Now it says here, looking diligently. So that means that I'm going to have to be flat out serious about this. This is not optional equipment. I have to make sure that I'm going to be diligent with myself on this matter. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Notice it troubles you, and thereby many be defiled. So when you have bitterness in your heart, you're failing of the grace of God. And, you know, because God wants you to deal with bitterness in your heart. Grace. Grace means unmerited favor. You don't deserve it. But God wants you to deal with this, and He wants you to deal with it in such a way that you're going to be constantly aware of the fact that this cannot be allowed in my life. Now, ladies, I know that Kim told you this, and she uses it with our counselees all the time. I am not sticking my head down that hole, because there's nothing down there but darkness and defeat and discouragement. So if I'm going to be where I need to be with God, I'm going to ask God that question every day. Is there any bitterness that's standing between you and me right now? And God's going to show it to you. He's going to make it real. But because bitterness is a root sin, it's gotten root in your heart, you're going to have to ask God to forgive you for it, but you're going to have to ask God to take it out because He's the only one that can. Okay? So, in essence, looking diligently. And so it's not like this. God, is there any bitterness in my heart? Okay, thank you, I'm going on. No, I'm going to sit there and listen. And it's going to pop right here. You have bitterness toward Tom, or you have bitterness toward Susan, or you have bitterness because of this situation. Now you are going to have to deal with it. Otherwise, other people are going to be defiled. Because of the way you handle yourself and the way you act, and you're out of fellowship with God, and so this is extremely serious. Okay? So in essence, I have to take this very, very serious. You say, you don't know what they did to me. I do know. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they said. You don't know how they treated me. I understand. But let me ask you this. Are you going to let them control you, or are you going to let God control you? Amen? Are you going to let them control you, or are you going to let God control you? You say, well, she does this all the time. I understand. But at the point of impact, whenever she does something like that, I'm going to stop, think, submit, turn it over. What do you want me to praise you for? What do you want me to thank you for? I am going to turn her over to God. Got it? Everybody with me? I'm going to turn her over to God. So that I'm not thinking, here she comes again. I just detest looking at her. I mean, how ugly can you get? And saying things like that to yourself. Y'all with me?
Yes.
Oh, folks, that's extremely dangerous. Christ died for everybody. That person needs to be saved. Amen? And you're not going to see them get saved if you've got bitterness in your heart toward them. Do you hear me? You're not going to see them get saved. You know, well, that you say, well, you don't know how bad they are. You don't know. I understand. Believe me, I understand. I counsel people. I know how bad they are. I know the wicked things they say. I know the way they've handled themselves. I know the immorality that they've been involved in. I know it all. And I'm saying that in a humble way, by the way. I've heard it all. And yes, some of it is very bad. But now I'm going to have to realize that I'm going to have to put my faith into action. Amen? Yes? I'm going to have to put my faith into action here. Now, did you notice here that it says, and thereby many be defiled? So if you have bitterness in your heart, you're going to defile everybody who's around you. Bitterness in your life will affect others around you. It will infect them from your life and testimony. A bitter husband or wife affects their children or spouse. It can even go further than that to many family members and friends. Do you know what bitterness, you know whether one of the reasons why that we don't see more people getting saved? Because of Christians harboring bitterness in their lives. Do you know what bitterness is? It is nothing more than allowing your flesh to control your life. And folks, have you ever noticed that life is not fair? You ever noticed that? Life is not fair. And have you ever noticed that people can be extremely cruel? Oh yeah? Now, bitterness is a root sin. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verse 29 with me. It's a root sin. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, look how it says. See the first word in that verse? What is it, ladies and gentlemen? Let means you've got to make a decision. Amen? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace or divine help unto the hearers. Now, it says, let no corrupt communication. What kind of a problem do people in this room have with no? It says, none. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, building up, encouraging. Now, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And I want you to notice what the next verse says. Because when you're letting corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth because there's bitterness in your heart, what are you doing in verse 30? You're grieving, you're quenching the Holy Spirit. Now that's getting even more serious. The Holy Spirit wants to work in your life. He wants to help you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to have free course with you. But if you are continuing to say hurtful and evil things about this person or that person or some other person, you're grieving the Holy Spirit, quenching Him. Now watch. I want you to think with me here and look at verse 31. It says, notice the first word is what? Let. What's the second word? All. What's the next word? It didn't say some. You could have some bitterness. It said, let all bitterness and wrath, and that's anger with a strong desire to avenge, and anger, just being mad, and clamor, public quarreling, and evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. And malice, see, if you got all the rest of those things in your life, then you're going to be a malicious person. In essence, going to have deep-seated meanness in your life. That's what malice means. So, but why is bitterness first in this list? Because everything else in this list comes off of bitterness. It's a besetting sin. So it creates all the rest of this list in your life. Let all bitterness and wrath, that means anger with a strong desire to avenge. And anger, people just having an angry spirit. I started saying years ago that anger is the hidden sin of independent Baptists. They can come to church and say, "Oh, brother, how are you? Hey, praise the Lord, good to see you." Go home and treat their wife like the trash. Or go home and treat their husband like trash. Because they're running off at the mouth. And every little thing makes them upset. Every little thing makes them angry because they're not a spirit-controlled person. So I've got to focus on being a spirit-controlled person and making sure that there is absolutely no bitterness in my life. Because if I have bitterness in my life, a lot of this other stuff is going to show up in my life. Now, you know, and notice it says here that, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption." It's not to grieve Him. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you." Did you notice it says here, "Let all bitterness and wrath be put away from you"? What part of a problem then do we have with all? It didn't say some, it said all. Amen? Let all. It didn't say that it's okay to have bitterness in your heart toward one person. It said all. Let all bitterness and wrath be put away from you. Wrath is anger with a strong desire to avenge, and it comes from bitterness. Now, I want you to turn back to Colossians chapter 3 and look at verse 18 with me. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18, notice what it says. And we deal with this all the time in our counseling. Now, I don't want to sound, within the scope of independent Baptist churches, you know, we have been taught that a wife is to obey her husband. She is to submit to her husband. And I agree with that. But he's going to have to be a spirit-controlled person. But watch what the Bible says here in verse 18. Well, let's look at verse 18. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands," but notice the disclaimer, "as it is fit in the Lord." There's some things that aren't fit. Husbands, love your wives, and be not what, folks? Bitter against them. Many times when we have people that come in to marriage counseling, the husband is very much bitter against the wife and is saying horrible things and mean things and all kinds of things of this nature. And the wife is not submissive at all. Had to spit that out. Now, I'm going to give you an example. Years ago, Second Church, we're in a coal mining community and had the largest underground coal mine in the United States there. So everybody was a coal miner. And so we had a lady who came and she got saved. And she'd been coming faithfully and she was a sweet person. And so one Sunday she came and she said to me, Pastor, could I talk with you for a minute? And I said, sure. And she says, I'm embarrassed to talk with you about this. I'm really embarrassed. So Kim, you know, she was there too. And so she said, and she sat down in our office and she said, I don't know what to do. Husband was unsaved. And she says, my husband came home and said that he and another man down at the mine had been talking and they would like to wife swap. And then she said to me that I know that the Bible says that I am to obey my husband in everything. I said, stop right there. I said, God did not give you your head for a hat rack. And I showed her Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18. I said, only as it is fit in the Lord. And this is not fit in the Lord. Now, a husband has to understand that, you know, we're submitting to each other. And my wife needs to be a spirit-controlled person, and my husband needs to be a spirit-controlled person. And then we don't have any problems with submission. Amen? But without being a person who is spirit-controlled, we're going to have a major malfunction with submission. And one of the great tools in your life is submission. Remember, James 4:7, submit yourself, therefore, to God, the Holy Spirit. Resist the devil and he'll what? Flee from you. So submission. And we saw last night how David was submissive to God, asking him questions. Submission is part, you know, part of that is asking God questions. So I've got to learn how to be a submissive person before I'm ever going to have a godly marriage. Before we can ever learn to submit one to another. And I need to make sure every day that she knows that I love her. Now, I've counseled people that don't really love each other. In fact, they're not too happy with each other. But I'm going to tell you this, the reason why that they're not really happy with each other is because one or both of them have got bitterness in their heart. Amen? Of course, we recognize some people aren't saved. Okay? But the reality here is that bitterness is a besetting sin. Now, did you notice that James 4:7 says, submit yourself to God? I'm going to have to submit myself to God every day, every moment of every day. And when something comes up into my mind, stop, think, submit, turn it over. What do you want me to praise you for? What do you want me to thank you for? Keep in mind here, the devil cannot have power over you, only what you allow him to have. If you're a born-again person and a spirit-controlled person, the devil has no power over you. Only what you allow him to have. And therefore, you need to make good decisions at the point of impact. Amen? Because Satan's always going to try to come at you with something. Now, at the point of impact, immediately submit yourself to God, the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to control your mind. Now, turn back to 1 Peter chapter 4. Oh, by the way, I want to finish the rest of that. So, she said, he's told me he wants me to do this and he wants me to quit going to church. And I said, again, did God use your head for a hat rack here? Or you're not using your head for a hat rack, right? Okay, God commands you to be in the house of the Lord. And God commands you to be a spirit-controlled person. And God commands you to do what's right. Because one of these days, ladies, you're going to stand before God for what you allowed. And you're not going to stand there with your husband. You go out into eternity Very rarely will one of you die without, you know, very rarely will both of you die together. But you're going to go out into eternity and you're going to stand before the Lord as to how you handled yourself. Now, the reality here is at the point of impact, you're going to have to learn to understand that. Now, I also want you to understand this. So I said, you know, let's okay. So is it fit in the Lord for you not to be in church? The answer, no. Need to be in the house of God. And so then she said, okay, I understand. And she said, what should I do? I said, you tell him as lovingly and as kindly as you possibly can. Now, of course she was hurt. But I said, tell him as kindly as you possibly can that I love you, but I can't do that. It's just, I cannot do that. And you come on to church. She did. So about 3 weeks later, guess who shows up? Her husband. And my first thought was, oh boy, this is going to be fun. Okay? And he sat there and he listened to me. And when he went out that night, he said, thank you, Pastor. Shook my hand and walked out. Came back the next week on Sunday night. Same thing. Didn't ask me any questions. Just said, thank you, Pastor, and walked out. Third Sunday night, he comes up and he says, Pastor, can I ask you a question? I said, yes. I thought, here it comes. He said, can you help me get saved?
Amen.
And I said, yes, I can. Now, if she would have went off and done something dumb here, it wouldn't have happened. You hear me? And her life would have been a disaster, and his life has been a disaster. And so he started coming faithfully, and he got his life moving in the right direction. It made her life a lot smoother, and we saw God do great things in their lives. Amen? Now, it would have been something that if she would have said, I can't even believe you want me to do something like that, and I'm leaving you, and I'm not going to have anything to do with you, and blah, 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 blah. Get it? Instead, she turned it over to who? God. Now, certainly she was hurt, right? Yes. It was an awful thing to ask. But again, you're talking about an unsaved man who's living a wicked life. But God changed their lives. Why? Because she followed what we told her. She submitted herself to God. And I told her that. I said, now you're going to have to submit yourself to God and make sure that you're having fellowship with God every day. Yeah, it's probably going to be tough here, but let's see what God does. Now, 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, and by the way, this passage is a very powerful one. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. And the Bible says, and above all things, have fervent charity or love among yourselves, for charity or love shall cover the multitude of what, ladies and gentlemen? Sins. Use hospitality one to another without what? Grudging. There's that word again. Grudging causes you to have bitterness in your heart. You're holding a grudge with someone. Now we have to bring, listen to me carefully, we have to bring every ungodly, bitter thought into captivity to have a real, intimate, personal, passionate relationship with God, and it's our choice. And you have to learn to control your thought life. Now last night, I showed you from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. about bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How many thoughts? Every thought. It's your responsibility. We have the capability to do this because of God the Holy Spirit who indwells us. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So in essence, I'm going to live a life that's honoring and pleasing to God. Kim doesn't have any problem with submitting to me. I don't have any problem submitting to her. And the Bible's plain in Ephesians 5, talking about marriage, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Many of the problems in the home today are due to people being bitter with each other and not being willing to submit to one another. By the way, submission requires humility instead of pride. They cannot or will not submit to anyone else in their lives, and they do not see the need for humility. Now turn back to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And I want you to notice that. Verse 7, even in the church. Hebrews 13, 7 says, remember them, talking about your pastor, which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or their lives. Now look at verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit who? Yourselves. Amen? Now, Pastor Miller, I know him pretty well. I know he has the best thoughts for your lives. And when he shares something with you from the Bible, he does it for your good. Amen? Now it's talking about here, you submit yourselves one to another, and here it's talking about submitting yourself to the pastor. Now that doesn't mean that if he's living a life that's dishonoring to God, that's another thing, okay? But if he's preaching the Word of God and he's teaching you how to be Spirit-controlled people and he's going to be a Spirit-controlled person, what should you be doing, the Bible says? Submitting yourselves. Amen? Amen? You got to learn to submit yourself rather than be an angry, ungodly, wicked gossiper who thinks that that's going to help everybody. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, you know, obey them. The Bible says here, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. In essence, Pastor Miller, one of these days, is going to stand up. I am too. I pastored for 42 years. I'm going to stand before God someday for what I've preached. I'm going to stand before God someday for what I've encouraged people to do with their lives. And I'm going to stand before God for every person that I've counseled in Hope Biblical Counseling Center. So, we're going to take it seriously. We're going to take it seriously that your life is important to God. And we want you to learn how to be Spirit-controlled people, not to be angry people, not to be gossiping people, but to be people who will say, I want to walk with God and serve Him without being a person who is destroyed because you're out of fellowship with God and you're letting bitterness rule your life. In 1 Corinthians 4, 2, you know, several years ago in one of our churches, you know, five of them. We had five. In one of our churches, we had an older couple come and visit our church. Their children were grown and out of the house. They had been members of several different independent Baptist churches down through the years, they always found something wrong with the pastor or someone in the church, and I found that they were extremely bitter people. And their children were a disaster, and their grandchildren were a disaster. And they talked considerably about wanting to have their children's lives change. Of course, they asked us to pray about it. And this is a family where the father worked many times on the Lord's Day down through the years as the children were growing up. And if the family members came to visit, they would stay home with them. And on certain holidays, they would stay home from church services and fix dinner for the family. And if there was a family reunion, they were not in church. Many Sundays, they just did not find their way to church. And if you spoke to them about it, they were faithful in their own mind. And 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." It's required. And there were other things that they did to dishonor the Lord. And as the children grew up, the parents taught them to undermine the authority of the pastors they sat under, and they were all extremely angry and bitter even with each other. Of course, they were angry with the different pastors and churches they sat under. It's all the pastors and churches' fault. The family is so angry and bitter that they manufacture things to be angry and bitter about. And many are defiled because of their bitterness, and their lives are a disaster with drugs, immorality, and ungodly attitudes. Of course, they've married unsaved mates, and it's questionable about those in the family who have made professions of faith. And the father of this family died an agonizing death, and for several months at the end of his life was only able to look out the window of his home and think about the disappointments of his family. What a sad and miserable existence. One afternoon, he had been diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease and only became progressively worse. And so he couldn't walk, but he had an office chair that he would move around in. And so I came in one day, and he was there by himself. And I came through the back of the house, and I called him by name. And I saw, as I walked into the living room, I saw him, and they lived on a farm. And he was looking out the front window and looking out over the farmland, and tears just streaming down him. And I said, called him by name, and we had become friends, and he would go soul winning with me and different things, and quite frankly, he moved forward in his life quite a bit. But he said, "I'm just sitting here asking God to forgive me for all those Sundays that I should have been in church. And I've asked God to forgive me about how I've raised my children." And he said, "Would you pray with me, Pastor?" I said, "I sure will." A little bit later, I came in and he was near death. And even that day, he asked me, he said, "I want you to do me a favor." He said, "I want you to make sure that they put a tombstone on my grave." I said, "You mean you haven't taken care of that?" He said, "No, I just didn't get around to it." And I thought, this is going to be fun. And then he said, "And when you preach my funeral," he says, "I want you to preach the gospel and tell my ungodly and wicked children that they need to get saved." Okay. Then he said, "I want you to tell my son and my grandsons that I want them to wear a white shirt and a tie to the funeral, and I don't want them coming up to the funeral looking like a bunch of no accounts." And I said, "Okay, but you haven't told them that?" "No, I want you to." "Well, thank you. This is going to be fun right here, you know?" And So I come in that day and he's near, you know, and his daughter is in there with all the family members. And so I said, how's he doing today? And his daughter says, oh, Pastor, he hasn't talked at all today. And of course they were all yakking, you know, and everything. And so I got down by his head and I said, called him by name. And I said, it's Pastor Coomer. And he said, get these people out of here. He says, all they've been doing is talking about what they're going to get when they put me in the ground. He said, I want them out of here right now. Okay. So I thought, how am I going to do this? I said, would you all be willing to step out of the room for a few minutes because your dad and your grandfather would like to have a word in private with me? That's pretty good, wasn't it? Daughter exploded. Well, I never. And I said, look, your dad wants to talk to me in private. Well, please move on out. And the whole time that they were going out, they were, well, I've never, no, you know, and so on. So, he says, I don't want him back in here. I had about, you know, I had a really tough time getting him out of the room the first time around. You think I'm going to be able to keep him out of here? I said, let's pray. And then we go to have the funeral. And again, belligerence and, you know. So we get to the church and our church was having a meal for them. And so everybody's in there, and so I'm hearing a ruckus go on, and we had an auditorium that was able to be converted into a fellowship hall, and our folks had worked really hard, and there was a ruckus going on, and one of the grandsons was up there telling his grandmother that he was really mad because he wasn't getting this and this and this. So I walked up and I said, okay, now this is not the place to be doing this. If you want to have a discussion, you can have that outside of this building. This is God's house. And we don't handle ourselves this way. Amen. And he looked at me and I said, you don't need to argue with me because you don't want to do that. Now, this is enough. Your grandfather has passed away, went to be with the Lord, and you need to show some respect here to your grandmother and to other people in this room. Now, you know, that's what a life gets that dishonors the Lord. That's what a life gets that dishonors the Lord and lives in bitterness. Do you hear me? I talked to his wife on more than one occasion about putting a tombstone on the grave. Do you know it was 2 years before I got that accomplished? Because everybody wanted what they wanted. Now I want you to get that. Turn back to 1 Peter now, chapter 2. I'm going to be done here in just a second. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want you to see what the Bible says about this. And look at verse 19. This is what a life gets that lives in bitterness. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. And by the way, this passage of Scripture became very precious to me in the death of my mother. I'm an only child. My mother was an only child. My grandmother was an only child. And most of you have heard that story. But this passage became real precious to me, because I had to deal with her being in a coma for months and make decisions for somebody else that couldn't make them for themselves. Notice what verse 19 says. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. You know, one of the questions I asked God was, is there anything I have done that has caused this? God said no. But he said, you're going to learn some things here, and you're going to learn to trust me here. Look at verse 20. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if you do well, if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Now, I have written, and so on one evening where I was having to make a decision, because I was bombarded all the time from the doctor saying, she will never wake up. You need to pull the plug. If she does wake up, she'll be a vegetable. But God had already, I asked God, and God made it plain to me that he was the author of life and he was the taker of life. And I said, I am a Christian and I cannot do that. God is going to, and he's fully capable of taking her home if that's what he wants to do. And God, I asked God, I remember getting down by the bed and I asked God, I really need your help here. I want you to give me a passage for me. And immediately the Holy Spirit took me here. And so I've written in my Bible, my passage. Now, Kim and I, there was suffering that went on in trying to handle that. And I thank God for Kim. She was very, very encouraging to me on the days that I really was needing God's help. And she was there to be an encouragement to me. And God encouraged me. I want to show you something now. I took this verse apart. This is the verse he said, for what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently. So in essence, if you did wrong and you know you did wrong and somebody confronts you about it, you don't be yelling and screaming, ranting and raving. I did wrong. I'm sorry. I need forgive me. And I need God to forgive me. But if when you do well and suffer for it and take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Do you know what that word acceptable means, folks? God applauds. Look at my servant here. Look at my servant. If you do well and suffer for it and take it patiently, God applauds. You're going to have to be a spirit-controlled person in every situation. You're going to have to be a spirit-controlled person and not let bitterness get control of your heart and your life. You know, it says in verse 21, for even there hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Jesus Christ suffered immensely for us. as an example that we should follow his steps. And the Bible here says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Jesus Christ gave us the great example here. If you do wrong, you should take it. You should take being corrected for your faults patiently. If you did right and you suffer for it, there's an interesting word in this verse. Notice that phrase, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. It means that God applauds. In essence, look at my servant and how they handled this wrongdoing to them. I have to understand if I forgive them, I will not try to get back at them. I will not use their sin against them. I will not gossip or say horrible things about them to other people. I refuse to allow them to control my life. I shall turn them over to God and keep turning them over to God. And if necessary, get physically out of the way. And when the person or situation comes to my mind, I will say, Lord, I want to turn this over to you. What do you want me to praise you for and thank you for? This is called the point of spiritual impact and make Jesus Christ real in your life at the point of impact. It's like rebooting your mind to think on spiritual things. In James chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Or the word humble means here submitted. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Submit yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he'll lift you up. Speak not evil one of another one, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Now, folks, bitterness will eat you up. Realize that you cannot change people. Only God can do that. And if you notice in James 4, verses 6 through 12, it'd be interesting reading. I want you to hear me, and I want you to get this. In James 4, 6 through 12, it talks about the failure to submit to God. So if I'm a bitter person, I'm going to fail to submit to God. I'm going to fail to submit to God. Are you failing tonight to submit to God? Maybe as I've been preaching here tonight, something has come to your mind, and you know it, and it's hindering you, and you know it. Now's the time to do something about it. Now's the time to do something about it. Don't let another moment go by that you have bitterness or you have the unwillingness to submit to God in your heart. Because the greatest thing you'll ever learn to do is to submit to God. And do it regularly. Do it quickly. And do it expeditiously. Recognize that I have to make my faith real in my life by submitting to God rather than let bitterness control me. Let's stand together.